I'd like to welcome to Planet Waves FM Mr. Joseph LaLima, my new friend and neighbor here in Kingston, New York.
Thank you.
Joe, good to have you on the program. I'm looking forward to this for weeks. And heard about you last year, but never really thought I might meet you. But then I have my little project of driving around the county in the morning and exploring things. And one thing I found was the Hurley Country Store.
Great place.
And then I was rapping with them there, and then you came strolling in. So that's how we met.
Yes, we did.
Now, you have got a COVID story to tell. Something happened to you that hasn't happened to anybody else in New York State. lightning struck, and I'm calling this show the Governor versus the Barber.
Oh, my God.
Well, anyway, what happened, Joe?
Well, Mr. Cuomo had made the announcement that barbershops, beauty shops, nail salons, and so on and so forth were not to be open.
Yeah.
So I did not open.
This is last year on April or something, March.
It was in March.
Right.
I went to the store on a Saturday morning, and I seen the newspaper. It says, Cuomo says you can work from home. Well, the barbershop is my home.
Yeah.
It's on 678 Broadway, Kingston. It's been there since May the 2nd, 1975. And that is my home. I vote from there. Everything I own is registered at 678 Broadway. And I opened my shop. Well, with that being said, I was not handling any regular customers because they figured I was closed. I was doing first responders, mm-hmm. not charging them.
Mm-hmm.
And during the time that I was open, a police officer from the city of Kingston, Rick, came to my shop, and I said, I had a state trooper sitting in the chair getting a haircut, and I said, you're next, Rick, and he told me he wasn't there to get a haircut, although he needed one. He was there to close me up because the chief and his boss, lieutenant, sent him up there to close me up. So I showed him my papers. I showed him the headlines of the Kingston Freeman, stating the fact that you could work from home. I showed him my living quarters and so on and so forth. And to cut to the chase, he said, well, you're 100% right. This is your home. I can't close you up. I might as well get a haircut. And he got a haircut. Okay. I continued to cut hair for first responders. A couple people came in off the street that never got their haircut from me before, although I know them very well. They wanted a haircut. I asked them where they got their haircuts. They told me. I said, but the shops are closed. I said, well, when all the shops are opened up and you want to come to my place to get a haircut, I'll cut it. But I'm not taking any new customers or anybody that belong to somebody else. Okay. Then it got to be in May. On May the 11th, I suffered from COPD and pneumonia. And I was having a hard time breathing. On the day before, the 10th, I was struggling breathing. I was taking oxygen treatments and so on and so forth. And finally, I went down to the emergency room at the hospital. Well, I got in there. They swabbed my nose. And in about 10 minutes' time, they said, you got COVID-19. I said, really? They chest x-rayed me. They gave me all kinds of tests, blood tests, so on and so forth. And I have papers states the fact that I have COPD and pneumonia.
Yeah, they knew you from other hospitals.
That is correct. That's 100% correct. Yeah. And they treated me a couple of days. They sent me home.
Oh, you stayed in the hospital for a couple of days?
Overnight.
Yeah.
I think it was 2 days if I remember mm-hmm. right, if my memory serves me right. I went home. I stayed home. I didn't open up. I minded my own business. Long story short, some joker from the newspaper, and I don't know which one. His name is Jesse.
Jesse Smith.
Whatever his name is. Jesse is an individual that shouldn't be printing anything.
I know him well. I'll tell you the story another time.
Fine.
I have a box of
Well, he stuff. Asked me, he asked me, told me who he was, and he told me which newspaper he worked for, which I don't remember.
Kingston Times.
And he said, how many people did I cut? How many first responders did I cut? I said, roughly 10 or 12. That's where Mr. Como got the number. I had infected 10 to 12 people, which is untrue because the district attorney of Kingston, New York, Mr. Clegg, and the county executive, Mr. Ryan, did an investigation. I didn't infect anybody. Nobody. They went to the police departments all over the place. They did not infect anybody. That's telling you I didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my argument. I never said that I had it, although it was printed that I said I had it.
Yep.
That's far from true.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, look, in that time frame, if you walked into the hospital with difficulty breathing and you tested positive, but I will tell you that the nose swab test takes a lot longer than 10 minutes. That has to be sent out.
It was 10 or 15 minutes at best.
Yeah, no, there were no enzyme tests then, whatever they're called, antigen tests. The nose swabs have to get sent out to a private lab or the state lab in Albany called the Wadsworth Laboratory. So 10 minutes is not any kind of a COVID test. So, but your paperwork says suspected, right? It doesn't say
correct.
You had it.
Right. It's suspected.
And they are claiming that you, in this, so let's keep going. So meanwhile, you become kind of world famous.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yes,
you get
I
your
did.
15 minutes.
Yeah, and I don't like it.
Right. Well, if you're not made for it, it's not any fun.
No,
if
I'm
you're
not.
Made for it, it's fun, but not for a barber. I mean, and this barbershop, by the way, is this impeccably tidy. I feel like I'm walking into like 1973 when I was 9 years old. And
thank you.
And you know, and my mom was taking me for a haircut. That's what this shop is like. I mean, it really is a very accurate replica.
Thank you very much.
Well preserved. So now a year goes by. No, wait. What happens then? And then what happens? What do you become world famous for? What does Cuomo say?
Well, I assume what people were told me. I didn't listen to him. Said that I infected 10 to 12 people, which he got that information from the newspaper.
From Jesse Smith saying it, basically, when it was completely untrue. Yeah.
If that's the man. And I did tell this, Mr. Smith, I don't believe in fake news. That's what I told him.
But Jesse Smith does believe in fake news.
Well, he's a fake himself.
Yeah.
And I hope he's listening.
He but anyway, let's keep going. I know him so well. So, all right, so this gets in the Kingston Times, basically. It gets on HV1. Kingston Times is not printing. So it gets on HV1. Therefore, it spreads by the internet that you've allegedly infected all these like cops and troopers and firemen.
That's correct.
Oh God.
More cops than firemen.
Okay.
More police.
All right, yeah.
So
that would be a bad thing, right? That would make you very unpatriotic.
Absolutely. 100%.
A bad man. So then what happens?
Then a gentleman, Mr. Goldman, came to my shop, who's an investigator for the state barber's licensing. And he walked to my shop and he looked around and he told me that I was in violation for having my magazines in a rack. I wasn't supposed to have them where people could touch them. He wrote that up. He wrote up that I had a duster that I dusted people's neck off. You're not supposed to have that, which I purchased at the barber supply. And he wrote me up for not wearing a barber's jacket, which I never wear a barber's jacket. Then he said I had a face shield that was given to me the day before. And he said that he took a picture of it and wrote it up that it wasn't open. Well, I had a mask on. I don't know why the hell I needed it.
It was never required.
No.
No, it's irrelevant. But I understand why they said all that, because I read the order that came out in late May. So, okay, so then what? He writes you up for?
He wrote me up for that and a list of other stuff that doesn't make any sense to me. And it was dismissed, from what I understand, from the paper that I have.
That the original complaint was dismissed.
Dismissed. And it ended up that it was on October the 22nd that I went to the hearing, virtual hearing, to Judge Brown, was it? I think her name was Judge Brown, Alicia Brown, I think.
Aisha?
Hold on. Not Aisha, Hudson.
Hudson, I'm sorry.
Okay.
And Mr. Goldman and a lady prosecutor, attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And it lasted about, this hearing lasted about roughly, if it was an hour, it was a lot. And she said that she was going to rule on it. On the 24th or so of May, I got a call from my attorney telling me to come to his office. He had 23-page stuff. We went over it. He underlined or highlighted everything. And with that being said, he says, looks like we're doing good until the last two pages where she says I'm incompetent. She found me incompetent and untrustworthy.
Yeah.
Now, I'm 77 years old. I'll be 78 in 4 months. I've never been in trouble in my entire life with that shop whatsoever. I passed every inspection they ever had. Nothing ever went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And overnight, they want to put me completely out of business. They want to take my license, my livelihood.
So that's the ruling. The ruling that I read today said that your license is basically revoked.
And it's not. That's
what she ruled. That's what Hudson ruled.
That's correct.
But you haven't been properly served.
Not at all.
Right.
And my attorney is right now working on a stay, mm-hmm. and then an appeal.
Right. So they may think that sending it to your lawyer is enough. But whatever, let them think whatever they want.
I was told that I have to be served.
Yeah, okay.
I was asked. That's wrong. I wasn't told. I was asked if I was served. And
right.
I said no.
Right. Okay, so what I learned from reading this is that the New York State Department of State of New York Department of State Office of Administrative Hearings, this is just a bunch of administrative law judges that rule on this stuff. Ruled, this one judge, Aisha Hudson. Well, they admit in this ruling that the state had no power to revoke your license for, in their view, being Typhoid Mary, right? Even if you had tested positive and given to 12 cops, they still couldn't revoke your license.
Correct.
I thought that was an interesting thing to say, which explains everything that follows. And then they enumerate, they give this list. Let's see if I can find it. Of all the bad things, I'll read some of them. Everyone sit down. Not wearing a face shield. Respondent admits he shaves faces, cuts beards, and trims mustaches. But he did not know those activities were prohibited. Only because you've done them every day since 1963. Respondent has only one bottle of hand sanitizer for customer use. Just one. People have to wait in line to squirt some out, right?
That's correct. But that's all the stuff that Mr. Goldman wrote up on prior to coming into my shop for the first time. He told me to get rid of magazines. At that minute, I took him and put the magazines in the back.
Ah.
He told me about the neck duster. I threw it in the closet.
Yeah, let me keep reading here. No signage reminding customers to wear a mask, practice social distancing and spacing, to practice proper hygiene, etc. Shop has newspapers and magazines available in the waiting area. Respondent does not wear a smock or gown while practicing. Respondent does not ask customers if they've tested positive for COVID-19 or been in close proximity to someone who has. Respondent does not maintain a customer log. Respondent does not maintain a cleaning log. There's no safety plan posted, and the respondent has not filed an affirmation to operate in accordance with the published guidance. So what he's doing is essentially throwing the book at you here.
Correct.
Only it's all this petty shit.
Correct.
So, yeah, it's plainly obvious what they're doing. And everyone, you know, I talked to three lawyers about this, mm-hmm. and it's clear, including my friend Steve, who's been on the show a lot of times, that they're making an example out of you.
Absolutely. I'm the only barber in New York State that they did this to.
Yeah. And why the great emperor, in all of his might and power, would take issue with a barber working since 1963 in a little hole-in-the-wall barbershop in Midtown Kingston. I mean, they should be sending you a rebate check because you have a business open in Midtown.
At 77 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. So when they rule, right, this goes on. This thing goes on and on and on. I've read a lot of these administrative decisions because I've worked for different publications where this is all we wrote about, like the New York Education Law Report, which this wouldn't qualify to get into. And what they make it sound like you tested positive.
I realize that.
And they say that you admitted this in writing.
I did not do that.
And
I want to see it. If they have it in writing, I want to see it.
Well, isn't that the whole point of things being in writing, is you can produce it and show it as evidence?
I would have to say so.
Why say it's in writing when you can just say someone said it?
I mean, it's a very good question.
It's the same thing. And so then the judge lists off all of these, basically says, well, she agrees with all these bad things, but let's go down the list here and do a little bit of reality checking. Where did this go? This litany, this laundry list. Not wearing a face shield. Now, you don't have to wear... I've never heard that there was any requirement to wear a mask and a shield.
No, I have a mask.
Plus, someone gave you the mask the day before as a gift.
Yes, sir.
A public official came in.
Absolutely, sir.
As county legislator came in to visit you and for a favor brought you a mask. A shield. So that's why I was sitting there at all.
That's
it wouldn't
correct.
Have been sitting there. They couldn't have written about it.
Not at all. I wouldn't have had it.
Okay. So you admitted you shave bases and trim beards, and but you didn't know that beards and mustaches were prohibited.
That's correct.
Right. Now, on ignorance of the law is no excuse, but this is not the law. First of all, it's a fiat order. It's just an order, right? It's just an executive order that may have it clearly has no power under the law because they couldn't act on it. They don't have any power to act. They admit that they can't act under
this
it.
This guy came in today and said all this stuff.
Today?
No, well, not this day. I'm saying the day that he walked in my shop.
He told you all this stuff.
He told me all that stuff. The next day, if he came into my shop, there was a sign up.
100% compliance.
Everything, 100% plus.
Yeah.
I had three hand sanitizers. I had the alcohol, rubbing alcohol to wipe the doorknobs down.
Et cetera, et cetera.
And the whole nine yards. Signage was there. The only thing that he said, he gave me a paper that states this, whatever the state puts out. He never gave me a paper. He gave me a citation. But he swears that he gave me a paper.
Meaning a copy of the guidelines.
And I do not have it. And you've seen my records. They're not neat, but I keep everything.
Yeah.
And there's not a thing in there that says that there's a copy of the violations, but that's it.
So he never gave you a list of all the things you were supposed to do.
Oh, he told me and I wrote them down.
Yeah, but, and then you did them the next day.
Yes, sir.
Right. So it would seem... that given that you never actually tested positive for COVID, that you were a regular visitor in the hospital for breathing issues.
COPD and pneumonia.
Right.
I had double pneumonia a year before.
And, you know, what's interesting is in that time frame, back in May, most people, you're lucky you're alive, because they were taking people who walked in and they would just put them in a coma and trach them, and 97% of them didn't wake up. It's like a science fiction film.
Well, this is like waking up to a science fiction film.
But yes, it is. Many of us feel this way. It is rather dystopian. If you had written this up in 2018, you might have won the Hugo Award or the Nebula Award for a creative science fiction.
That's it.
But that they didn't keep you in the hospital, that they didn't intubate you or trach you, they're claiming you tested positive, but then 2 days later they let you roam free. This completely belies their whole argument that you had COVID, because that's not how people who had COVID were treated in May of 2020.
No. And on the 17th, I believe it was, of May, I had another breathing attack. I went back to the hospital. They kept me there for about 4 or 5 hours, laid in the emergency room, and sent me home. Gave me oxygen.
Yeah.
Breathing to clear my chest.
Albupent or albuterol or something like
right.
that. Yeah.
And that was it. They sent me home. My daughter lives with me. If I had that, she would have had it. She's a police officer. Mm-hmm. She definitely would have had it.
Mm-hmm.
A very good and close friend of mine comes by every day, comes by my shop. On the weekends, we sit out and have a couple of beers, watching a ball game. He would have definitely had it, right. 100%. The police officers that I was right next to, within less than a foot away from their head, cutting their hair, they would have definitely got it if I had it. I'm not a typhoid Mary. This is a typhoid Mary what I'm going through.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. No, and typhoid Mary, when you look into what happened to her, she didn't have typhus. People wanted her money. There were other issues around that. It's always some.
Well, I don't have
always
any money
some
for them
lame
to get. I'm
always some
it
lame
out.
Excuse. Well, you were convenient, and to me, your situation represents all that is wrong about COVID. It's all that is wrong in terms of the phony testing protocols, the blurring of a suspected case and a so-called real case. What else? No clear delineation of any rules. No businesses were actually served with notices telling them to close. Everyone just basically folded up their cards and shut down and sucked it up and drained their bank accounts empty.
I did that.
Because they all had to pay rent and they all had to eat food. And many paid their employees during the whole thing, but there was no actual proof of anything. And now we see evidence that this order is a paper tiger, that they had to essentially get you on lame technicalities. And the judge admits that your residence is. Your legal residence is your building at 678 Broadway.
That's correct. That is correct.
And so they're basically saying we have nothing, and then they have to talk about the neck duster. A fucking neck. So you're accused of, like, essentially being one step away from being a cop killer, right?
That's it.
And then, right, like, it's like, you know, room full of 12 cops. You try to shoot them all, but you missed. Okay, that's pretty bad. No, forget that. You got a neck duster. You're not wearing a barber jacket. There's no rule that says you have to wear a barber jacket, but they list it.
That's correct.
This is everything that is wrong with COVID wrapped up in one tidy 23-page self-satire. This thing is as close to being a joke as you can get, because it certainly hurt you, but the press. The local papers are, I think, what's really done the damage. Jesse Smith, I know that he is capable of absolutely fabricating stuff and not caring whether anything is true or not. There's something up with that guy. And so this is the first I'm hearing that he came and talked to you and put it in the Kingston Times.
He called me.
He didn't come in. Oh,
no,
because he was afraid he was going to get the COVID.
He called me and he questioned me as to I was doing first responders. I said, that's true. That's 100% true. How many did you do? I said 10 to 12. Continuously, they came.
But this became And this became what Cuomo, the very emperor of New York State, claimed that you gave that many people, that 100%, all they had to do was get a haircut.
And had they followed through and followed with Mr. Ryan, the county executive, found me not to have infected anybody.
But it doesn't matter
Mr. Clegg didn't find anything, but this
So you're saying that the county executive and the district attorney, David Clegg is the most powerful ranking official in the county, investigated this and found that you gave no one COVID.
That's correct. That's 100%
correct. Cuomo still, and they're Democrats, Cuomo still went with it. Cuomo still ran with it.
It was, I think they investigated after Mr. Cuomo made that statement.
I see. Okay. So he didn't know anything. That was a completely know-nothing statement with no proof.
Not whatsoever. Yeah, from this guy. And it had to come from this Jesse guy because he's the only guy that he asked me how many people I caught. And I said 10 to 12. And that was repeated by Mr. Cuomo saying that I infected 10 to 12 people. That's where he had to get his information from.
Yep. I follow this completely.
The guy with the poison pen is, in my book, he's not even a decent human being.
Okay, so now you're going to appeal. You're filing for a stay to block the.
Yes, my attorney is Mr. James Towne.
Now, this is not an easy field to find an attorney in.
Hell no.
Because your usual lawyer, Mr. Minetti, is one of the most experienced attorneys.
He's a fine
in
gentleman.
The county. I have a very old friend who's gone into the field of employment discrimination law, Steve Bergstein. So, when I met you that same day, I started calling the attorneys I know, including Steve Bergstein, and he was ready to take the case. Then he read the ruling, and he said, "This is so confusing. I have no idea where to even file these papers." And so, if he says he can't do it, he was by the way, concerned that he even talked to you. He feels that talking to you, only talking, was a commitment to represent you. So that's how sensitive he is to this issue. And he referred you to a specialist in Albany, but then so did Minetti. What's Minetti's first name?
Alfred.
Alfred referred you to somebody in Albany. That's the attorney that you took. It's a very specialized field of law
James
to be able to
Towne.
Fight these. And I'm sure this doesn't happen every day at all.
I'm the only barber in New York State that it happened to.
For COVID. I have never, look, obviously it's happened before, not for COVID, but other things. But I've never heard of this proceeding to remove a barber's license. It's the most pedestrian, mundane thing you can possibly do in the world. One thing that I think is confusing from the outset is they made a arbitrary line about what was a essential and non-essential business. Now, as the press, we're obviously essential, but we're protected under the First Amendment, as are churches. They were shut down. But isn't grooming pretty much an essential human need? Isn't that as essential as...
Well, not if you go back to the 60s.
So this is a rebellion. You became a barber in the 60s because everybody had long hair. So not in 63. The 63 was a lot like the 50s. You would have thought it was the 50s.
That's true.
So, okay. So you're going to fight this?
Yes, sir.
And I think that's the right thing to do. I think that you have been given an opportunity.
Well, to be honest with you, Mr. Minetti and I, we had a long talk, and it's to hire an attorney, it's costly. Mr. Minetti can't handle it because he told me that he's not with that type of law, same as your friend Steve.
Steve is very close to it and couldn't do it.
Right. So he told me about this gentleman, Mr. Towne. So I contacted him, and I was thinking about it. Should I do it? Should I not? Should I put the money up? Should I not? And I got the money, and I hired him because I worked at this trade all my life. Mm-hmm. I enjoy what I'm doing. I enjoy the people that comes to my shop. I don't have many walk-in people. I have steady clientele from day one. Mm-hmm. I started in Saugerties, New York in 1963 for a guy named Richard Bono, who's a undertaker now. He had a barbershop in Saugerties. I went to work for him. The customers that I had in 63 still are alive. The ones that are alive still come to my shop in Kingston.
Right.
So it's not like Joe Blow comes in off the street and I say, hi, who are you or what's your name or whatever. I know everybody that comes in there.
Right.
They're my friends.
Yeah. Right.
And I have, I don't know where, I hope it goes away. I really do. I hope this attorney does a fantastic job and goes away. But I don't understand the whole nine yards, this incompetent and unjust.
Well, that's all they had.
Well, that's what makes me incompetent?
Well, they're saying that you well, what makes you incompetent? My reading of this is you cut hair while you knew you had a communicable disease.
I didn't know that.
I know, but that's what they're trumping up. They're saying that they're lying, of course, and that's what a ruling is. They're siding with the state. Look, Cuomo, I'm sure that Uncle Andy said, get him on something. That's it. Or one of his minions. He didn't even have to say anything.
Yeah,
get him on something.
I'll give him the credit for that.
So magazine rack, I mean.
I don't think that he went out of his way to hang me. It was brought up. He read that newspaper.
But he made public comments.
That's correct.
So that's getting very high. That's...
It went all over the world.
Yeah.
It went all over the world.
And at a time when the world was looking for villains and people to blame and for outliers, and as far as I'm concerned, you were in full compliance with the executive order because your driver's license and voter registration records come back to a building you own and live in at 678.
May 2nd, 1975.
You've been there since then.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, all we can really do is follow the story.
Okay.
I've set up a GoFundMe for you.
Well, thank you.
And so this is not an interview with a news person in the news. This is an interview with somebody that I set up a GoFundMe campaign for a week ago. And you're welcome to click on it and the money will go to help pay Joe and his lawyer and you know.
Well, I appreciate that very much, and if anything through the GoFundMe comes over and above the amount that I have to pay, I would like to donate it all to the homeless vets.
Great. Perfect. Thanks. Joe, thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you very much.
I'm sure you've had a lot of people nodding or shaking their head, one or the other.
Yeah,
because this is just crazy,
and it
shows how petty it all is. It shows how petty, and they can no matter who they claim is positive. And if you believe there's a virus, which I have made the case, and it's my position that they've never shown that there was a virus, and they've never shown any virus they claim exists to be harmful. Even if you believe that there's a virus and that it's deadly, New York State Wadsworth Laboratory admits that its test is blowing out 90% false positives. Hmm. 90%. The state lab admits this, and it was printed in the New York Times, and multiple other state health departments and private lab owners have said the same thing.
I'd like to add something.
Please.
The day that I got out of the hospital, I went to Grant Street, where they had tents set up in the parking lot where they were testing you. I have documented proof. It came to me through the mail that I tested negative.
Yeah.
Not detected. And I went every single week until they took it out of the parking lot. Then I went to the, I think it was the 15th, I went to the place, and there was nobody there. So I went. I found out that you had to have an appointment to get tested. So a nurse friend of mine hooked me up, and I went in and got tested. And she said they're going to give you an instant test.
Right.
The nurse swabbed my nose, sat me in a room for 15 minutes, came out, and gave me a paper. And I says to her, "Well, how did I make out?" "Well, I can't let you know that. It's in the envelope."
Yeah.
I went to open the envelope. "Oh, you can't open an envelope up in here."
Mm-hmm.
I went outside. I opened up the envelope. Clean.
Yeah,
nothing.
Yeah.
Clean.
Okay.
So I got in my vehicle, and I started reading the paper, and I have it. You have to come by, and I'll show it to you. Says my date of birth, my name, my date of birth, the whole nine yards. It says admitted sex, male. birth sex unknown.
Oh, well, yeah. Right.
With that being said,
thank you very much. Days, what you identify as is very important. I personally identify as a beagle. All right, Joe, a pleasure having you on the show.
Likewise. Thank you very much.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.